Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today the Church is celebrating the meeting of the Lord and God in the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the 40th day after his birth, was brought in by his mother to the Church. It is a tradition and a rule that they had to bring the firstborn and to dedicate to the Lord, and then they could actually get him by a mouth from the Lord, and it cost five special type of a money that the Old Testament Church used. Anyway, my beloved, the Mother of God came in there and stood in a line together with the other women that were bringing the firstborn, and they had to have the prayers of cleansing, because the women were considered unclean after the birth, and they had to wait, and on the 40th day they would come to have these prayers. Now, of course, the Mother of God and was never touched by a man. And she didn't bear the child through, as a normal woman do, through the seed of a man. She had borne the child through the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit coming down on her. And the Lord did not, was not born of her as from a regular woman, as the children are born. And she was a virgin before she had conceived, and she continued to be a virgin as she had carried the baby Jesus in her womb. And when the baby Jesus was born, he came out of her womb just as he did from his tomb at that time, right to the rock, or just as he had walked right into the disciples' place, through, without opening the door, just going through the door. And this was, of course, a great miracle. And so the virginity of the Mother of God was never defiled. She was always a virgin, and was always continued after giving birth to the child. She continued to be a virgin. That's a great miracle. But then, of course, you know that today the one man was waiting to meet the Lord, and that one man was Simeon. Simeon, and he was a learned man. Many, many years ago, in fact, more than 300 years ago, he was one of those workers that were translating the Old Testament books for a Greek king. And when he came to Isaiah, where it says that a virgin is going to give birth to the Messiah, and his name will be Emmanuel, well, he saw that must be a mistake, because a virgin, a maiden, cannot give a birth to any children. And he was about to change the writing, but a guardian, an angel appeared to him and says, no, you leave it the way it is, because that's how it is going to be, actually. And but so that to make sure that you understand that you're going to live until the day that the Messiah will come. And he was waiting for 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, and finally the Holy Spirit had brought him in. You know, at that time, people were living just like people are living now. It was, you know, 70 and maybe 80, but over this troubles and so on. And this man had lived 300 years after, more to wait for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit brought him into the church at the same time. And when he saw the Lord Jesus being held by the Mother of God in her arms, being 40 days old here on earth, and he had came up to him, bowed down, and took the Mother of God, gave him the child, child, and then he took the child in his arms and was rejoicing so much, said a beautiful prayer that, of course, all of you know, now it is time to depart. And, of course, he had to depart because at those times again, probably the old age had taken and also giving him some trouble, and he was tired of living here on this earth. But then the main thing that he had such a great joy that he actually met the Messiah that is going to save Adam and the prophet David and all those who are waiting for the Messiah to come. And he is going to be able to now pass away from this life and go and tell everybody the wonderful, wonderful news that the Lord has finally come to the earth to save everybody. The Messiah has come, and their salvation is going to be given to them, because the Lord himself has taken upon himself all the curse of the sins and all the troubles. Of course, Simeon tells the Mother of God that she's going to go through so many sorrows, and he had told her that he's going to be suffering because she will see her son being crucified. And my beloved, and there was, of course, another prophetess, there was Anna, that also had foretold many things that is going to happen, as she recognized that he is the Messiah. And she lived with her husband for 7 years, and then after that, for 84 years, she had been a widow. And it was very old, and she always lived and worked in a church and being in constant prayer. My beloved, this is the story of our holiday today. If you notice that the vestments are mixed, some of them, it's golden for the memory of the Lord's feast, and the blue for the memory of the Mother of God. It's considered the feast of the Lord and the Mother of God. And so we mixed up the vestments today. And today we have to just concentrate what kind of sorrows that the Mother of God had to bear. Well, of course, she was bearing the sorrows of one time in the beginning, that they had to flee the country, that she was told that Herod wanted to kill her son, and they left the country for Egypt, and that was one big sorrow. And then, of course, at the time when he was already 10 or 12 years old, he all of a sudden they left Jerusalem after the holiday, and he wasn't with the relatives, and they thought that he was with the relatives, and they lost him, and for 3 days they were looking for him, and there was a great sorrow that she had to endure. But it never stops. She knew how the elders of the church did not want to accept him, how they wanted to actually to destroy him. And she had seen all those things. And finally, of course, on the Golgotha, where he was crucified, she had so much pain and from seeing that her beloved son, that she knew he was God, that came from the heaven, the creator of all universe, and he allowed himself to be crucified. And who is it for? Was for me, for you. He was crucified because he took upon himself our sins. He took our sins, and the Mother of God, seeing that, was totally heartbroken. And of course, you know, in the writings, in the church songs, how she had cried before him and couldn't understand for why he was crucified, for having done nothing but good, and without having one sin upon himself of his own. And of course, she understood and later that the Lord took my sins and took your sins and took the sins of all the millions and billions of the human souls that were before and now and at the end of the times. He had taken the sins of everybody upon himself to take away the curse from us, from the sins. and what kind of love we should have, what kind of love the Mother of God has. You know, she has actually adopted us. She has adopted us when the Lord had given John, the theologian, the apostle of love, as he is nicknamed, to his mother, and saying, "This is your son." And to the Mother of God, he said, "This is John." He said, "This is your mother, my beloved." But there's another mystery. She had adopted us because, as you read the prayers before the Holy Communion, and one of the canons, you must have remembered and heard the words were said, "You came out of the womb of the Mother of God. She is your and my mother also, because we have received the Holy Communion. We have in our body, in our system, flows the blood, and then we have part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that came out of the Mother of God's womb, my beloved." We have to understand that the kind of love she has. How much sorrow does she have when she sees me sin, or when she sees you sin, or anybody else, or all the people in the world, and she sees all that, because it was also foretold by Simeon that the heart is going to be open, the thoughts of the heart is going to be open to her. She knows what we go through, and she goes through terrible, of course, agony, as any mother does, even here on earth. If you notice that when the mother sees the children in trouble, then she is hurting so much, and because she loves them so much. And of course, the Mother of God loves us even more than a regular mother would be here on earth. Probably, if you compare all the love that the mothers have for their children on this earth, it probably will be only a little tiny bit of the love that the Mother of God has for us. Our Theotokos and loves us so much, and she wants to see us to be with her son in the kingdom of heaven. She doesn't want us to be put together, placed together with the demons and into the hellfire and the worm that is not that is that cannot die, that it's this with terrible angers and the hatred, all those things. And this is what we have, my beloved. Here on earth we can experience some of that, the gnashing of the teeth, the hatred that when we would be taken, when the enemy gets into our hearts, and how much we suffer even from that. But we have reliefs here after our big anger fits and those things like that. After that we can still have relief, but in hell there will be no relief whatsoever. It will be constant anger, constant hatred, constant torture, my beloved. The Mother of God knows all that, and so she doesn't want us to go there. And she suffers so much when she sees that we're straying away from her Lord and her God and our God, my beloved. Let's try to somehow soften the hurts of our mother. Let's try to curtail some of the passions and some of the sins that we commit. And of course, you and me can never do that without the help of the grace of God. But you and me also, we will not get the grace of God unless we believe that He is everywhere present and fills us all things, and that He is actually that. He is with us all the times that He has said when He left to sit at His Father's throne in the kingdom of heaven at the time of ascension. He said, "I will be with you until the end of times." And of course, He is with us. But if we remember Him, then and if we have love for Him, knowing what He had done for us, then the enemy, His enemy, the demons, they cannot approach us, and they will not enter into our heart, because our heart has the fire of love that we have for our Lord and for the Mother of God and for all the saints. And so you and me have to learn to fight the enemy of God, not each other, not flesh and blood, but to fight the enemy, the unseen warfare. We have to, don't think that it's just for the monks and the saints, it's for everyone. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, which the church explains is the acknowledgement of his presence. And that because he is with us and we know that he is with us, we don't want to hurt him because he is hurt with every sin that we commit. And so is his mother, the Theotokos. He is hurt for every sin that we have committed. Now, if we have a little bit of love, let's try to do as little as possible. As little of sins, and let us not be shackled with any passion that tears the heart out of our beloved mother in the kingdom of heaven. My beloved, the saints have done that. They walked before the Lord. They walked before the Lord, and they did not allow anything to take them away from the love of the Lord. No torches, no fires, no water, no nothing. Nothing could take them away from the love of the Lord. And we have to develop that. And let's become a true soldiers of Christ. And let's love our mother who is in heaven and our Lord who had died for us. Let's truly love him more than anything else in the world. And the first thing, of course, we have to acknowledge that the first commandment is to love our God with our heart, mind, and soul, and might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And who is the first neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Well, first, you have to realize that you must love your soul, because if you don't love your soul, you will never love your neighbor properly. Because if you just love your body, then your love will not be proper for the neighbors, because you will not protect them from sins. And this is what, of course, the Antichrist and then the demons want, for us to make an idol out of our body, and to care for our body, not for the soul, and not to give a hoot about the soul. And of course, that's a big no-no. And the Mother God is always hurt when she sees that we're worrying about our temporary shelter that the soul has, instead of the actual self, which is the soul that is eternal. With the help of our Mother who is in heaven, and of course our Lord and all the saints, let us try to work on ourselves, to cleanse our heart, to make it a place for the Holy Spirit to be abiding there with the our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father to be in our heart. And then the enemy will never come close to us and never be able to coax us to commit sins, and which only hurts our Lord and his mother. Amen.